You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date with all the latest theatrical news. And if you listened to the live Showtime episode this week, you'll have heard me talking about the hit comedy play Pride and Prejudice, brackets sort of, which is going to be in Nottingham at the end of March, direct from its triumphant West End run, where it won the Olivier Award for Best Comedy Play. Pride and Prejudice sort of offers a retelling of Jane Austen's most iconic love story in a way that you have never seen before. Playwright Isabel MacArthur has created something genuinely special here, and you do not want to miss it. So I've had the pleasure of catching up with cast member Danny Harris to find out just what the show is all about.
So it's a retelling of a classic story, but not as you would expect it. So there's a lot of swearing. There's a giant plastic horse. And it's just so, so funny. Like the novel in itself is kind of hilarious, but like the way that Isabel has written this adaptation is just, it's just so funny. And there's just an amazing cast of women, and it's got karaoke songs. It's got, you know, all the classics. So yeah, it's just a really, really like raucous, you know, hilarious evening, hopefully.
Famous last words. But it does sort of seem like the kind of perfect blend of the classic that we all know and love and this very contemporary modern feel. Like, as you said, there's karaoke in it. I mean, how does that fit into the story?
So yeah, it's, we kind of start the show, this isn't a spoiler, we start the show as servants in a grand household, and as the servants we are putting on the story of Pride and Prejudice, so we're taking on the roles of our masters or mistresses or whatever, and so it's the servants who kind of kick off the karaoke with a big karaoke, like big light up karaoke machine, and yeah, so we start all the singing and stuff, and then the songs are kind of like interspersed at different moments. Like there's a couple of balls that happen throughout the show, so there's obviously singing at the balls, and then yeah, a couple of proposals, there may be some songs as well.
Okay, so don't give too much away, those we need to come and see the show to find out how it all fits together. But I find it really interesting, like the servant side of things, because you know, there's this kind of like grandeur associated with, you know, the characters of Jane Austen and a lot of the writing of that period. And that sort of translated to modern day, if you look at Bridgerton and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What do you think makes it so special that it's the servants who are kind of taking the lead and putting the narrative across?
I think it's like, it's such a cool convention that Isabel, the writer, has set up, because you kind of get from the off that these servants are kind of like mischievous, Puck-like kind of characters, where they, you know, they're taking on these roles, but then I think it also allows you, the audience, to laugh more at the characters, because you know that a really truthful servant is putting that sort of costume on and assuming that role. So I think it kind of allows the play to have a lot more fun and like mischievous energy, I guess, in a way, because you can sort of see the moments where the servants are laughing at their masters, especially in the scenes where you can literally see a servant and then someone taking on, you know, the role of Mrs. Bennet or Elizabeth Bennet or one of the Bennet sisters, and it's just that like sort of outside eye looking in, kind of commenting on what's happening in the action of the story, that kind of makes it a bit more absurd, but in like a hilarious and great way. So yeah.
But you mentioned all the different characters that you each get to play. We have to talk about the fact that you do Mr. Darcy, like just the most iconic romantic hero of all time, possibly. I mean, where do you even start like creating your version of that character, I guess?
For me, it was probably, like, when I first got the audition through, I was like, right, I need to work on, like, a physicality and kind of, like, the body of Mr. Darcy, if that makes sense, because it's obviously very different to, like, how I would be naturally like in space and like my hands already are like going like this. And obviously Mr. Darcy is a lot more suave and sophisticated and cool. So yeah, it was kind of like working on the physicality and like how he would stand, how he would talk, how he would look at other people, and then thinking about kind of what he really wants. And like the directors that we work with on this project have been really great in that everything that I've been sort of trying to work on in a scene, it's like having all that emotion and having all that intention, but kind of just like bottling it down. Mm-hmm. And that's been really helpful to kind of get the essence of Mr. Darcy, because he's obviously a very intense character and he does have all these, you know, really deep feelings, but it's so repressed. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I've tried to work on it. But
So what do you think the impact is for like an audience perspective and as a creative, I suppose, for having an all-female presenting cast and having women take on these very traditionally male roles, not just as a character, but also like sort of as a figure in history, if you want to phrase it that way?
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting to talk to people who have watched the show, because they forget that it's an all-female cast, because everyone's just so, you know, consumed within their own characters. And I think, you know, our version of Pride and Prejudice is there are comments on, you know, the misogyny and the sexism of the time period, especially, you know, relating to Mr. Darcy at points. So I think, again, it's similar to the way that we, you know, the servants becoming these Regency characters, the fact that we are all female presenting and kind of commenting on maybe the undertones of sexism, and not even undertones, like full blatant sexism, and the fact that, you know, women can't inherit money or property and, you know, they're all going to be left destitute. I think in some ways the audience forget that it's all female, but in other ways it kind of enriches our version of the story that we're telling, I think. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all human beings like working together, and so it's just really, everyone's just brilliant actors. So yeah.
It's interesting though, because it feels like particularly in kind of, you know, today's society and with the modern audience in mind, I feel like the versions of Pride and Prejudice and other Jane Austen and other classic novels that we're getting, it feels more intuitive, and it feels like there's this kind of awareness of sort of responsibility to like kind of critique some of the things that were kind of taken for rote and that have been, I don't want to say perpetuated by other versions of the story, but it feels like there's now this freedom to be a bit weird and be a bit critical and look at it through a new perspective. I mean, out of interest, like, what was your own kind of journey into the Austen world? Like, what versions of Pride and Prejudice had you grown up with or come to before this show?
So before the show, I'd read the book. And I'd read some other Austen, like I'd read Emma, but not for years, actually. And I'd watched the classic, like the Keira Knightley and the Colin Firth versions. So I'd kind of, but I think I remember watching them when I was at school, but quite young, and seeing them, the story and these versions as kind of, not necessarily stuffy, but like very much like a serious period drama. And so when I came to this version, when I read the script for this, when I was auditioning, it was just like literally a breath of fresh air to be like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Because like when you actually think about it, it is a really funny story. I think it's really, really true and authentic to the story of Pride and Prejudice, but it's just got such a fresh and lovely and modern take on it that... it's really lovely to watch on stage as well and be a part of, so yeah.
I have to ask, given that you mentioned a couple of names there, I don't want to cause any drama, any potential rifts, any controversy. Yeah. Who for you is the Mr. Darcy?
Oh,
I guess yourself aside, obviously.
Many.
You.
Oh, that's a really hard question. Oh, I don't know, because Colin Firth is so iconic. Like, it's literally a cult classic. It's really, really hard. I'm going to have to say Colin, because also I went to the same drama school as him. So, you know, Drama Centre represent.
I was going to say, you're suddenly going to be disowned if you say anything else.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I'm with you. I remember my mum's, because I watched the Colin Firth version as a child with my mum. And I remember her saying there and then, like, whoever you experience first in these roles will, like, be the people that you associate with them forever. Yeah. And, like, that was before the Keira Knightley version and the Matthew McFadden one had come out. And even now when people, like, my age think that that's, like, the definitive one, I'm like, no. Not for me. It's Colin Firth. Colin Firth all the way. Just love it. And, I mean, any references to the wet shirt coming out of the pond moment in this? Is that too much of a spoiler?
There may be a reference, but there may not be. I may or may not appear soaking wet.
I mean, if ever there was a better way of leading into my final question, which is why should we come and see Pride and Prejudice sort of, that's at the edge of the seat cliffhanger.
Stay tuned, guys. Come and find out.
But yeah, why should we come and see the show?
Because it'll be such a fun evening/afternoon. You will just have such a giggle. There's some really fab music. Everyone is so talented and so beautiful to watch. And yeah, you will just absolutely, yeah, have a great night and leave hopefully with your cheeks hurting with laughter.
I mean, what more could you want? It sounds brilliant. A huge thanks to Danny for chatting to me and honestly for just making me all the more excited about getting to see this show when it's in Nottingham. I have got my tickets booked already, but if you want to join me and see Pride and Prejudice sort of for yourself, then you can get your own tickets from the link here in the post. It'll be at Nottingham's Theatre Royal from the 27th of March to the 1st of April, and you do not want to miss it. I will also be reviewing the show when it's here in town, so make sure you're following along on Facebook at URN Showtime and on Twitter at Showtime URN, so you hear that review as soon as it gets released at the end of March. I am expecting very good things, so really, really looking forward to all of that. But on that note, I will say goodbye to you for now. Make sure you join me for the last live show time before the Easter break next Sunday at 6 p.m. on urn1350.net for all the latest theatre news and non-stop show tunes. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, goodbye.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.